then I think that that kind of illegal drug use is something of, you know, put aside the morality or the ethics of using the drugs in the first place, it's a public concern. Then it's something that it's a real issue, right? So we shall see. I'm starting to think that, well, no, they could find out who, this is what I will say. They could definitely find out who this is if they wanted to. Do they actually want to find out who it is? I think the answer, this is where you get the Secret Service agents. They sit down. They say, oh, you know, the supervising agent who's in touch with the White House, you know, senior leadership, chief of staff. Hey, we don't want to make civil, you know, people have their rights here. And we don't want to get too crazy and give them the impression that you don't really want to find out who this is. Do you think they really want to know who it is?
I think it depends on who it is. I think if it's somebody that doesn't matter and they can just throw them to the wolves and be like, oh, we were so disgusted that, you know, 26-year-old, whoever it is, who was the basically the coffee getter for somebody, tried to bring in, that snuck this in, versus if it's somebody in a position of power. I mean, it's so reckless, Buck, to bring cocaine to a highly secure area of the White House, that when we started this discussion, I said that whoever was engaging in this behavior, it's an incredibly entitled behavior. It also is suggestive of someone who might have a real drug problem, as opposed to somebody who is using drugs, you know, sort of recreationally because it's July 4th weekend and they're going out somewhere on the Potomac and it's going to be a party. This is a story, I think, that also crystallizes for a lot of people the incompetence of the Biden administration. And so it seems also like a question that the media is going to be captivated by because there's a whodunit aspect to it. I mean,
we still don't know who
leaked
the Dobbs.
We can't figure out where the cocaine came from. I think that's going to be a hard sell.
We still don't know who leaked the Dobbs.
Correct.
The Dobbs decision. And that's a small pool of people. And they really just decided, well, we're going to look into it, but we're not going to look that hard. And that's how the bureaucratic slow roll works. I'm sure Secret Service is looking into this. Are they going to pull fingerprints? Are they going to do fingerprint matches? Are they willing to go to those lengths? It's so easy. You can just see it. Say, oh, well, you know, we don't want to devote too many resources to this, et cetera, et cetera. They just slow roll it until it goes away. And I could really see that happening here. So although the media does, they're more interested in this than I would have anticipated they would be. And I, like I said, I think it's because at first it's, oh, my gosh, the Biden White House would never abide something like this. Well, let's see who in the Biden White House was abiding it.
I also think it's the whodunit aspect, Buck. There is a storyline here, a narrative of, okay, we know that this was a crime. We know that there was now cocaine found. Frankly, Buck, I'm surprised that they ever admitted that they found cocaine. I would think this would be something that they would cover up and handle internally. I think maybe it was because they had to vacate the entire premises because they were concerned that it might be anthrax.
Yeah.
And so then it's like a terror attack on the White House. And then it comes out, oh, maybe it was just coke.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Innovation Refunds has helped thousands of small businesses with their ERC tax refunds. The ERC is the Employee Retention Credit. If you own a business with five or more employees, you could have money waiting to be claimed.
Innovation Refunds is dedicated to helping business owners navigate the process with their team of independent tax attorneys who are experienced in understanding ways that different kinds of companies can claim tax deductions as a result of the pandemic.
The ERC is an IRS tax refund program. The tax credits for small businesses are helping the American economy. So far, over 90 billion ERC tax credits sustained 1.3 million U.S. jobs and $135 billion in U.S. economic GDP.
Go to InnovationRefunds.com to see if you qualify. You could be on your way to receiving money for your business. There's no upfront charges. They don't get paid unless you get paid. Call 1-843-REFUNDS. That's 1-843-REFUNDS or go to innovationrefunds.com. That's innovationrefunds.com. Mike Lindell's introducing the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented the original MyPillow, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he's using new technology to make the pillow even better.
The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, but now has brand new exclusive fabric that is made with temperature regulating thread.
The MyPillow 2.0 is available at a great value right now. Buy one, get one free for a limited time with promo code Clay and Buck. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. The pillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee.
Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Special Square, and you'll get this buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow 2.0. Enter promo code Clay and Buck. Or call 800-792-3269 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now.
In Nevada, anything that goes into the storm drain goes directly to our local waterways, which can pollute Nevada's lakes and rivers. Nevada is the driest state in the nation, and we must work together to preserve our limited water resources for future generations of Nevadans. Here's some waterway wisdom so you can help do your part. Scoop your dog's poop, bag it, and discard it. Clean up yard waste and grass clippings. Wash your car at a car wash or on grass or gravel. Apply pesticides and fertilizers sparingly in your yard. Safely dispose of household chemicals. Clean up leaks and spills. And don't litter. Secure trash in bins. Keep contaminants out of our storm drains. Use waterway wisdom. And remember, only rain should go into the storm drain. Join us in preserving Nevada's waters for future generations by visiting loveNVWaters.com and following us on social media.
This message funded by a grant through the Nevada Department of Transportation, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcaster Association.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip.
AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas.
Locally owned and operated by Kent Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Russian fighter jets have flown dangerously close to several U.S. drone aircraft over Syria.
The encounter set off flares and forced the MQ-9 Reapers to take evasive maneuvers, according to the U.S. Air Force. U.S. Air Forces Central released a video showing a Russian Su-35 fighter closing in on a Reaper. The video later showed a number of the so-called parachute flares moving into the drone's flight path. The flares are attached to parachutes. One U.S. Air Force commander said three of the drones were operating over Syria on a mission against the Islamic State group. He called Russia's move unsafe and unprofessional behavior. I'm Karen Chamas.
The president of Belarus says the mercenary leader who led a short-lived mutiny against the Kremlin is in Russia, and his troops are in their field camps. The announcement raised new questions about the deal that extended the extraordinary challenge to President Vladimir's rule. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko's claim could not be independently verified, and the Kremlin refused to comment on Yevgeny Prigozhin's whereabouts. Also at townhall.com, correspondent Rita Foley reports on job openings.
Monthly job openings remain high by historic standards. They had never hit 8 million before 2021. Employers posted 9.8 million job vacancies in May, according to the Labor Department, though that was down from 10.3 million in April.
Correspondent Rita Foley. Stocks are lower after reports suggested the U.S. job market remains much more resilient than expected, and it could push the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates high. The Dow is down 333 points, and the NASDAQ is losing 107. More at townhall.com.
You may have heard some talk about the ERC. That's the Employee Retention Credit. It's a federal program that provides small business up to $26,000 per W-2 employee in employee payroll tax refunds. One call to Careful Accounting at 800-315-8175 is all it takes to find out if you qualify for the Employee Retention Credit and possibly for quick funding with one of our accredited funding partners in as little as 72 hours. Our process has been thoroughly vetted by a team of experienced tax attorneys and CPAs, fees, and our refund specialists will work tirelessly to get you every penny your business deserves. Plus, with our exclusive audit assistance guarantee, your business is protected. Call Careful Accounting now at 800-315-8175. See if you qualify for an ERC advance payment and get the cash your business needs to succeed. That's 800-315-8175. Your small business may qualify to receive up to $26,000 per W-2 employee in payroll tax refunds. Call 800-315-8175.
Hi, my name is Amanda Sandoval, and this is my 5-year-old daughter, Mariana.
Today, Mariana enjoys school, but it wasn't always that way. She was born with a disorder, and when she started at her local public school, there was little hope that she'd be able to succeed. Fortunately, her parents were able to choose a different school that offered her exactly what she needed to thrive.
For any family, the most powerful thing is having choice. You're putting your kids in a program that's going to turn them into adults, and you want your kids to be the best adults they can be because they are our future. And I think that every family should have that choice.
Unfortunately, most Nevada families don't have that choice. Education policy should focus less on budgets and politics and more on expanding opportunity for students.
Every child should have an opportunity at the best education that they can get.
Learn more about how educational freedom can help Nevada students by visiting nevadapolicy.org. This has been a public service announcement from the Nevada Policy Research Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit.
It's 12:04. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Illegal fireworks are being blamed for a huge increase in fires during the 4th of July. Clark County fire officials report more than 100 fires were touched off in the Las Vegas Valley during the Independence Day celebration. From noon July 4th to noon yesterday, the number of fires jumped up 1,400% from the same time last year. The bulk of them are blamed on illegal fireworks, the kind that fly and explode in the air. Fire officials say they don't know of any fires that were caused by safe and sane fireworks, the only type sold here in Clark County. Las Vegas police reportedly confiscated more than 2,500 pounds of illegal fireworks. The fire inspectors issued 61 citations to people with unlawful pyrotechnics. The 7 professional fireworks shows in the valley that did shoot exploding fireworks into the air went off without any problems. Former President and 2024 presidential hopeful Donald Trump is going to be speaking at a Nevada volunteer recruitment event on Saturday. The event's going to be held at 4:30 at the Fervent Calvary Chapel in Las Vegas. If you'd like to register for that, just go to DonaldTrump.com.
KMCQ on-time traffic. It's powered by Finlay Mazda in the Valley Auto Mall. We offer the biggest selection of new Mazda vehicles.
And a quick check of the traffic cams. We do see some heavy congestion in just a couple of areas of the freeways right now. Interstate 15 northbound at Sunset and Interstate 515 northbound. That's at Russell Road.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act to save our country and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
hang out. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Thursday, July 6th. Good to have you with us. The president's going to be coming to town this weekend. Everybody's excited about that. Go to the former president's website, and you can register to get tickets to the event on Saturday. It's going to be so much fun to see the former president again. Always good to have John Sorpolis on. He is so darn smart.
He knows so much about so much. He is the president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. And by the way, this Nevada Policy Research Institute report is brought to you in part by Nevada Trucking Association, the good men and women that get stuff from point A to point B. I love these people. They are the best. John, how you been? It's been a while.
Kevin, it's been too long, and it's my fault. I've been so tied up with legislative session, but that is behind us, and excited to be here.
You brought it up, so I'll ask you, your overall assessment. People ask me, and I say really a mixed bag. Could have been a lot worse, could have been a lot better. What about from your perspective?
So Tuesday morning, I watched the Women's World Series of Poker main event, and the woman that won just got every card. Every time she needed something, she got the card. Our governor, Joe Lombardo, didn't have any cards to play. He was bluffing his way through the best he could. You know, he did have his veto power, which 75 vetoes of a record. It was a frustrating session. I think the Democrat side was disorganized, although over 500 bills were passed. Lombardo vetoed a lot of bad stuff. He tried to make some deals where he could. It was better than it had been Steve Sisolak from a Nevada policy point of view, and better for the people of Nevada, because the stuff that the left passes is never going to have the outcomes they want. It's always got unintended consequences and hurts in the long run.
John, I want to ask you about strategy, because there are people that have criticized the governor for his strategy of essentially handing over $2 billion in new education spending without exacting anything in return. And he had said, oh, I want my priorities addressed. Well, they weren't. And I guess my question is, did he play that wrong from a strategy standpoint?
No, I don't think so. I think he was in the right place. He still has the accountability issue. You know, you've got $2 billion more in education. Will anything change? So if he uses his bully pulpit for the next 2 years and just really complains about the lack of accountability and results, even with $2 billion more, he can make some hay there. So I going into it, I thought it was a strong strategy. They were not going to give him an inch, which was really, you know, pathetic. I mean, we're supposed to have a bipartisanship, and the Democrats did not cut the Republicans, but they didn't give them the time of day.
Well, okay. That being said, so what are we, the people, supposed to do? We favor, school choice. We mm-hmm. favor voter integrity, mm-hmm. Voter ID, all these things that the people, you know, approve 50, 60, 70% in some cases. Mm-hmm. What are we as a people to do?
Well, the governor signaled that. He said, if I don't get what I need, I'm going to go directly to the ballot. He's the first governor to say that in this state, but I trust that he might do that. And I'm hoping that school choice and straightening out election integrity laws, et cetera, end up on the ballot.
I want to ask you about a subject that comes up a lot. Most people don't fully understand it, and it's ranked choice voting. Can you give us where we are in that process after the 82nd Nevada legislature?
Right. So ranked choice voting was on the ballot in 2022. It is a constitutional amendment, and they took the route of putting it on the ballot twice. It passed in 2022, 54% to, 40-whatever. I can't do the math here. But anyway, they, meaning the progressives that like this idea, and by the way, the Democrat Party, state party, is officially against it, but the chaos wing of progressives think this is a great idea, and I do think it's ranked choice chaos, raised $22 million, advertised it like crazy. The opposition side, the vote no side, the side that I would prefer, raised $2.2 million and didn't get much out about it. It's coming back in 2024. And number one, if this passes, it will amend the state constitution. This is too radical an idea and too untested to belong in a constitution. I would not be so opposed to, like, passing it for a local election City of Las Vegas, Clark County, some lower races to try it and see if it's going to work. There's just confusion and chaos around the system. It's complicated for the voters. It's so complicated, they tried this in Marin County in California, and 3 months later they figured out they didn't know how to count it right, so they had actually declared the wrong candidate the winner.
God,
it's
no.
It's that confusing.
Oh, my God. Give me, and I'll give you as much time, owing, of course, that this is a three-hour show. I'll give you as much time as you need, sort of. Explain, if you can, what this ranked choice voting is all about.
Okay, well, first there's two parts. There's the open primary part, and then there's the ranked choice voting. I'll come back to open primary, because that's a whole other set of issues. But the ranked choice voting part is the part that's really the most troubling, because it is so confusing. So in the open primary, and we'll talk about that later, you end up with the top five vote-getters from all the parties, from everybody, independents, non-declared, Republican, Democrat, they're all on one primary ballot, and the top five end up then in the general election, and you get to choose multiple rounds. So in the first round, you vote for who you would like most to be. Let's pick governor, because this is going to affect all our state offices. So you would choose, and let's say it was Joe Lombardo is your first choice. Joe Lombardo, in this election, the last election for Joe, received 48.8% of the vote. He did not get a majority. He got a plurality. This system, ranked choice voting, is about trying to have a majority, but it's a false majority from my point of view. Steve Sisolak got 47.3 votes. So again, he had a plurality. Joe Lombardo won. He had more votes. But under ranked choice voting, he did not have 50% of the vote. So then what happens is, in the first round, if no one gets 50%, and that is the only point where you get a true majority of the votes, those people that voted for the worst candidate, the loser, the fifth candidate, their ballots are then looked at for their second choice. And the second choice then goes over to those that are remaining. So if someone had chosen Joe Lombardo in their second choice, but not in their first choice, they had picked the worst candidate, which, let's just say it's me, John Tarpalis. John Tarpalis got the least votes, it drops off. Then they pick Joe Lombardo. Then in the second round, their vote then goes into the Joe Lombardo column. But perhaps it doesn't. Perhaps they've picked Steve Sisolak in the first round. Nothing happens with them there. But in the second round, see, I'm so confused. I'm confusing myself.
Well, you've lost me. You lost me about 2 minutes ago. I mean, this is, I know people that struggle just with regular old-fashioned voting machine voting.
Right.
Now you're going to add second place and third place and fifth place. I mean, this thing is complicated enough. Why are they trying to make it more complicated?
Because they think it will cut down on partisanship and cut down on extremes of the parties. Right now in a primary, you tend to get conservatives voting for the Republicans, and you tend to get the progressives and the motivated left voting for the Democrats. So the party doesn't get their moderates out, and it does not get any independents out in a primary. So they're thinking by doing this, they'll get a mushier middle. But you also might get less qualified. And here's the problem. You voted for who you wanted on the first round. And the second round, it's kind of like, he's okay, she's okay. And the third round, it's like, well, I don't really want this person, but I've got to add a third choice. And then a fourth choice? And then a fifth choice?
But people barely know about the first choice.
Right.
Much less the second, third, and fourth
choice.
I mean, we don't know that much about these candidates. And God forbid if you do this with judges, where nobody knows anything about what they're about.
Yep. Well, it doesn't include the judges at the moment, but it's all your statewide. It starts at the U.S. Senate, It's our U.S. House of Representatives, our congressmen, congressional people. Then it's our statewide governor, attorney general, secretary of state, all of those offices. And then it's the state legislature. It stops there. It doesn't go down any lower. But it's a terrible, it's just a confusing, terrible system. How are you going to figure out all those races? And then when you're down on your third or fourth vote, it's probably somebody you don't even want anyway. So, you know, you get, and then they're saying this is fair because then we'll have a 50% majority at some point after we do these different rounds. We had 50% of the ballots that are left that were counted, but not of all the ballots that we're starting with. You're not having a majority or plurality. You're having, I can't even talk about it. It's so darn confusing.
Well, let me ask you. You keep your ear really low to the ground. You talk to a lot of people around town or around our state. And I got to ask you, are we going to be outspent $22 million to $2 million again?
At the moment, there's just not enough money coming together on the side to stop this thing. And the $22 million, $20 million came from out of state. Let's get that straight right up front. It was coming from East Coast progressives. That's who's behind this, and that is the problem. And they started this. The first state to pass it was Maine. Why they start in Maine? Because they live near Maine, and it's a very small state, and it has the right to go on the ballot. Then they jumped over to Alaska, again another small state with ballot and referendum rights. And now they're here because we're the third in line in terms of size and you know, easy ballot access. So they're picking off states one by one, and it's just been, you know, they where they've passed it, it's been really terrible. And as I said, this is a constitutional amendment. Okay, so we have an election then. If this passes in 2024, 2026 will be a vote under ranked choice voting. Our governor will have to use that system. And what if we hate it? What if it's so confused? What if it's so messed up? Then how do we undo it? We've got to undo a constitutional amendment. And that means it's got to go back on the ballot for two more election cycles or go through the legislature cycle and then onto the ballot, et cetera, et cetera. You can't get rid of this thing till 2032? Yes, 2032.
So in other words, we need to kill it off now.
It's got to die. It's got to have a stake through its heart now.
Again, John Zarpolis joining us, the president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. Can you folks, by your charter, can you advocate against this legislation, this vote?
We can educate on it like crazy. We can't say vote no, vote yes, but we can, and we are putting together a very large educational campaign on this because it's so important that people understand it. Once they understand it, I don't see how you can vote any other way. So you'll figure it out if you have any common sense whatsoever.
In our final couple of minutes, I'm very concerned about voter integrity. It didn't even get a sniff during the legislature. They just ignored it. Voter ID, we're not even going to tackle that. Can you give me your sense of what you feel is you know, ahead in 2024? Will we have a free and fair election in 2024?
Let me start with Nevada Policy. We'll in September be putting out our gold standards for election integrity, what we think should happen here in Nevada, and it is things like voter ID and getting the vote counted on election night, et cetera, just good, solid practices that have been practiced in many parts of this country for decades. In answer to your question, and maybe I'll keep it a national answer, there are too many states that the laws have been skewed to allow for a longer turnout period. Molly Hemingway in her book Rigged talked about how all of this was. I don't see where we fixed any of that. I do think that election night 2024 is going to be one of those where nothing's decided that night, and it'll be a repeat of what happened in 2020.
Man, that is sad. Final minute. One of the great things that you folks did at NPRI, and I love you for it. You've been doing it for years now, obviously, is the bill tracker during the legislative session. That was hugely successful. What kind of reaction do you get to it?
Oh, fantastic reaction. So the bill tracker, first of all, we rank bills that relate to our issues, our fiscal conservative issues, school choice issues. And then we...